Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we take a close look at one of the appearances reported by people of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, these aren't crackpots. These aren't psychotic people. These aren't you know, strange wish fulfilled persons who are in a religious fervor. They're just everyday people walking around not having any expectation or any plan for any such supernatural thing to happen. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in the middle of a very unusual and very rewarding spiritual experience. This hasn't happened just once, but it's happened hundreds of times, even leading up to as many as near 3,000 documented cases since the year 40 AD and up to the present day. So if you didn't know that, you can understand why it's an interesting topic. And that is why I got involved, because I had no idea 11 years ago that any of this was going on. Not a clue. I became Catholic and I started studying these things because as a psychiatric therapist, I find great interest in what people experience. But this is not any disorder. This is not any kind of a mental problem. In fact, because of my experience, I could easily say that it does not resemble anything in the psychiatric field. In fact, it's very expected, the way people reacted, out of disbelief, confusion, not knowing what they were going through, and none of them getting worse, but all of them feeling happy and joyful and very spiritual and influencing many, many people around them. In fact, the apparition with Guadalupe in Mexico led to 9 million Indians converting to Catholicism because of the experience. 9 million. So obviously these experiences can have a profound effect on those around them. And we see that in each case that we look at. So our goal here is to bring you the best information, best research details, so that you can decide for yourself what you think about it all. But hopefully you find it enlightening, educational, and quite different from anything else, indeed. But the bottom line is that heaven is very tuned in to every single thing that we're doing and every single thing that's going on this planet, in every country without fail, and that Mary is the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven, and she is coming for her children to help, to inspire, to warn, to make predictions, and to give them the basic messages, getting back to the Mass and to the Eucharist and to the confession and penance and all these things that are important for our souls. But each encounter is different in some ways, but very much alike in so many other ways, which is what reality would produce. You'd always have some differences in how people see and report things, but you can always tell that they're seeing and reporting the same kind of an experience over and over, no matter what continent, no matter what country or what culture, what religion, what background. It doesn't matter. The details come to be the same over and over and over, because she is the same Queen of Heaven coming to us all over. So tonight we'll be going to a little town in Lithuania in 1962. But before that, we need to check in with someone who was conspicuously absent last week due to his obligations, and that is my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. Good evening, Donald.
Hey, John, and I have to tell you, this past week was fantastic. The conference that we had in Jackson, Missouri, well attended, all the organization was great, great food, great speakers. It was outstanding. Tim Francis came and did a three-night throughout that area also after the conference. So a lot of good things was happening in eastern Missouri, south of St. Louis, down pretty close to Cape Girardeau, where most of this was taking place. And it was just a wonderful event. And so I'm glad everything, it sounded like from what I heard on last week's show that everything was very well done about Gary Vondel. One thing I will say, you know, this coming Friday, the Faith Blaster episode 4 is going to be dealing with truth, which is very important because you think about truth. It says in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, that is referring to Thomas, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So truth is very important. And in the New Testament, the truth appears in the New Testament 118 times. And it also appears 25 times in the Gospel of John. So Jesus puts a lot of stamp on truth. And why that's important is because everything that we do here, Deeper Truth, is based on truth, his truth. And when we're dealing with his mother, she is, she's on there more than just an adhesive tape. She's on there. She's so enwrapped with that truth that you just can't separate it. You know, it's almost like super glue, you know. Jesus and Mary are totally together. And that truth is so important. And so that's what's happening. And we have another news show that we're focusing on Saturday morning. I've had several people around the world actually asking me to do a show, which I started this past Saturday, about the Biden administration and what went wrong with Afghanistan. And, oh, gosh, and what is the what's going to happen as a result of it. So that's what we're doing on Saturday. So, but tonight, we look to Our Lady. We look to Our Lady because she offers hope in the midst of all this chaos. She offers hope in the midst of all this chaos. And along with Our Lady, we have Miss Texas. We have Judy Alciator. How you doing there, Judy?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, Miss Texas. And also we got Terry from Texas as well. Terry, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Hey, Terry.
Terry, you there?
Terry.
Well, he may just be listening in, or he may have himself muted off. He'll mute himself off and discover, oh, I'm muted. So, but he's free to come on when he's available there. All right. Judy, do you happen to have a poem available for us? John, do you want her to do it before, mid, or after?
Right now. Good.
Okay.
Well,
Judy.
I actually have two. One's an older poem, and the other is one that I got from the Lord very early this morning. So do you want me to do both of them, one right after the other, or what? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, this is a little different. It's the older poem, and it's meant to convey the peace and joy of heaven as the dreamer in the poem experienced it. I left this life, I fell asleep, and Christ was there to meet me in all around angelic sounds with saints who came to greet me. The world of pain fell far away, and joy and bliss embraced me. No sorrows now, no fears or doubts, no demons here to chase me. I looked down and there they were, the family who loved me, and I could see their happiness as love poured forth from above me. And in the morning I awoke, the sorrows just a shadow, for Christ had touched my heart and soul, and him I'll always follow.
Oh, nice.
And him.
Very nice.
I will always follow. Yeah. That's good.
This other one, I'm afraid the mood is quite different. It's one that the Lord has given me because of everything that's going on in the world. And I entitled it, All Around Us. We sat in our complacency, ignoring the emergency, the chaos all around us, so easy to be found. Oh, did we hear the dear unborn, or help the ones who wail and mourn, the bloodshed all around us upon a battle mound? And now we face the aftermath of carnage real, not just a graph, the misery all around us. Now we, who should have known that there are those who kill for glee, who hate the truth, the family, the weeping all around us, is us who scream and moan. And afterwards, God gave me these words. He gave me this poem earlier this morning. Wake up, America.
Well done.
That is. And wake up. I mean, are we past the point of no return?
No.
I can't say that. I can't say that.
No. As long as there is God, and God is always, we know that. And as long as we have faith and trust in Him, it's never too late for anything. It's never too late. As long as we have life and breath in our bodies, it is never too late for us.
That's right. I agree. And we all knew that Satan was going to try. That Satan was going to try to stir it up quite a bit before he goes out. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, I do think that as long as we have Biden in there, it's going to hurt America. It's going to hurt what's happening in Afghanistan. I mean, our allies are upset about it, that they're concerned about it. Look at Taiwan, the China Sea, the threat there now, and what's happening in Hong Kong, even South Korea. This is long-reaching. Our allies, I mean, Biden was condemned by the British Parliament yesterday. It's the effect on that. We have almost 40,000 Americans that are behind the lines, the Taliban lines, and we have no way of getting them out. Same thing about the interpreters and those who supported us. And one of the things I found out yesterday, too, is that because of what we did and leaving all our stuff behind, the Taliban has addresses and names of all those who did help us. And they're being hunted down like dogs. I mean, I'm just saying, we have some very serious, critical problems that we're having to deal with. And yes, heaven is maybe the only thing that helps us, because right now, we'll deal with Biden on Saturday on that show. But I
you
love your.
I'm sorry. Are you guys familiar with a man who appears on Fox News from time to time? His name is Dan Bongino.
Yes.
Well, I saw a video of him today. He read something that was written by C.S. Lewis years ago. And in it, I don't remember all the details, but in it, basically, he was speaking to the problems of the times. And then he was talking about all of the problems throughout history. And he ended the video by saying, you know, this, we've always had severe problems in this world. Every generation has lived through horrors of some kind. And
right.
So we're not the first, and we probably won't be the last to live through horrible times. But somehow, if you think about it and look through history, somehow humanity gets through it, whether it's,
yep,
tyranny or a plague of some kind. Whatever
yep,
the horrors are, humanity survives because God is saying, I'm not done with humanity. as long as he is with us, humanity will survive.
Yep. Yep. Well,
from the fall of Saigon, with the fall of Saigon, it took 15 years before America could put itself back in some, with the Gulf War. With the Gulf War, we kind of asserted ourselves. It may take decades after this situation we're in now.
It may.
So
it may take longer than that.
You know.
It may.
You know,
but
Donald,
we can't lose hope. We can't lose hope.
I'm
100% American, and I love this nation, but I'm Catholic. And I know throughout history, most great civilizations, 200 to 300 years is the average lifespan. America could fall tomorrow, and I'll still be Catholic.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. To the death.
All right.
To be honest, I mean, to the death, for real. I mean, I agree with both you and Judy and what you're saying there, Terry. We need to pray for America, but right now we need to care about those 40,000 that are behind Taliban lines, many of them being beaten, many of them being beheaded, many of them going through, I mean, girls down to the age of 12 being sold off to being married, girls being stoned to death because they showed a lock of hair.
Okay.
I mean, there's just so many things. So we need to pray. We need to pray.
Yeah. All right. Well, now on to our story tonight. Coming from Lithuania in July of 1962, and the little town is called Janonis, J-A-N-O-N-I-S. We have it's a rather short story. Of course, it's only short because sometimes you can't get a whole lot of material, but sometimes you get lucky and get an entire book written on the appearances, and sometimes you just get a brief report. But we got enough here to make it really interesting. The visionary was an 18-year-old girl by the name of Ramut McVite. And she was walking through the fields of clover late at night, about 11 p.m., on Friday, July 13th, 1962. It was the 13th, and it was a Friday. coming from the barn past the cows, she saw an unusual light. As she got closer, she said it resembled the big altar from the Scimonio parish. Many candles were burning on it, and standing on the altar was Holy Mary, wearing a white gown with blue ribbons. Her hands were held as a priest would, saying Holy Mass. Over her head were dark heavens where many stars glistened. Her hair was blonde and fell to her feet. I'll stop there for a second. That's a very interesting description of Mary. We certainly have heard the white gown before, but with blue ribbons, what do you make of that, Donald?
Well, blue represents truth, and that's exactly what we opened up with. She is,
yeah.
That's powerful right there. And the altar, think about that. I mean, you go to Revelation chapter 11, beginning with verse 18, the nations raged, and that's what we're kind of talking about here. But your wrath has come, and the time for the dead to be judged, and the recompense your servants, the prophets, and the holy ones, and those who fear your name, that's Terry, and that's Judy, that's you, John, that's me, that's all the deeper truth, and the Catholic Church. Yeah, that's it right there. And the holy ones, and those who fear your name, the small and the great alike, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a violent hailstorm. And then what comes next? chapter 12, verse 1, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the same lady that you're talking about right there, John.
Yep, standing on the altar with in a bright light, in a white gown with blue ribbons, and many stars glistening in the heavens behind her. Quite a sight, certainly. Because remember, it was coming from the barn past the cows that she saw this light. Pretty interesting. So she was frightened, and she wanted to run home to tell her parents so that they could come see. But after starting to run home, she thought that she should ask the Virgin Mary if she would wait for her to come back. Turning around, she saw that everything had disappeared. She tied up the cow and went home to tell her mother what she had seen. But her mother suggested that she probably imagined it all. Ramut insisted it was true, and it had lasted for a good 5 minutes. Well, on Saturday, the next day, July 14th, her mother told Griselda Duntien from Genonis what Ramut had seen. Ramut also shared her story directly with this lady. And then all agreed that she should return to the same spot at the same time that night. Despite asking her mother and sister Anna to go with her, they refused, only because it was raining. So Ramut took her rosary with her and left. When she got to the corner of the barn, she became frightened and started reciting the rosary. Slowly, she moved forward, and when she was near the well, the Virgin Mary appeared to her. She suddenly fell to her knees, which is a very common characteristic of visionaries encountering Mary. Not their choice, necessarily. It's like they are pushed to their knees gently, and she was on her knees. This time, the Virgin Mary was standing on a little table covered with a white cloth with golden crosses. Mary appeared exactly the same as the day before, but with a crown on her head. Her left hand was toward her breast and holding a branch. She couldn't see her feet covered by the white robe, but leaned forward to kiss the area where her feet would be. Then Ramut said to the Virgin Mary, quote, "Why, Holy Mary, did you appear a second time to me? Why don't you appear to priests and bishops and holy people rather than to such an insignificant piece of dust?" Referring to herself. And Mary says, "My pure child, you are worth it." And Ramut replies, "Holy Mary, keep mankind from death and sickness." And the Virgin replied, quote, "I will help mankind if man turns to prayer, and I will protect you from death. Otherwise, you would have died this month near St. James Day, July 25th. Friday would have been your day of death. Ask people not to eat meat on Fridays.
Whoa.
Ask them to believe my holy words, to say a small prayer. To the non-believers, say nothing," unquote. I'll stop with that at this point. We'll talk about this. Reaction?
Wow. The golden crosses. Go ahead, Terry.
No, I was just going to comment about that. I get a lot of flack from that, even from other Catholics, because I don't eat meat on Fridays. And I just found out that, you know, way back it was Wednesdays and Fridays, you know. But I just wanted to comment on that. I still get a lot of flack because they're like, "You don't have to do that. This is just on Lent." Like, no, you fast every day of Lent, not just Fridays.
Well, now you can that Mary. Now you can tell them that Mary said so.
Yeah.
Amen.
In fact, the church still the issue about eating fish on Friday has never changed. What they have allowed is that if you have to eat meat, or if meat is in a situation where you can do another sacrifice in that place, that was never done away with. We are still called to eat meat on Friday. That has never changed. But they do allow, if you have another sacrifice in its place, for a situation. But that's you're right on there, Terry, and that's me too. I only eat fish on Fridays myself. Now, as far as the golden crosses that were on the altar there, gold is a symbol, the purity of the metals, purity. It is the most pure of the metals. And that's, again, another sign that we see coming from Our Lady, that she is pure. That's what also the white represents as well. But I thought it was interesting about the golden crosses. Why not silver or some other color? Gold, I think, is that symbol of purity. So I just thought
crown.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and the golden crown means Queen of Heaven. So
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Again, Revelation chapter 12, 1, right there. She wore a crown there.
Yep. And I like the humility of this visionary, because she's on her knees before the Virgin Mary, and she says, why me? Why not a priest or a bishop or someone more important? And I love Mary's response, because you're worth it. You know, such that it just underlines the fact that it's not about your position in life. It's about the fact that you're a human being, and every human being has worth and is worthy. Of course, we can do things to make ourselves not worthy, but in heaven's eyes, all souls, all children, you know, of Mary are worthy of her presence, you know.
But think of this, Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. At that time, the disciples approached Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child over, which we believe is St. Ignatius of Antioch, by the way, as a child. He called a child over, placed in their midst, and said, amen, I say to you, unless you return and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, and the one that we're talking about in tonight's show, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Oh, my goodness. And I have to share this. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of things that cause sin. Such things must come, but woe to the one through whom they come. Oh, my. Woo!
yeah.
That's why I think, and Terry, that's one of the things I love about what you've been doing with your music, you know, especially the style of music and the type of music that you do, because you are sold out for Christ, you're sold out for His church, and when you're putting out information in your music, I don't see cussing or vulgarity or anything like that. I see the praise of God. I see the promotion of God in your music, and I applaud that with 100%. I mean, that is so awesome, and the talent that you have in doing it. I am so thankful for you in what you do, my brother. And so
thank you,
Brian. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Thank you, brother.
That is...
But you know what? I was thinking when you was reading that verse about woe to him who causes one of these little ones to sin. Because that little one can be interpreted as children, and it can be also be interpreted as baby Christians, baby Catholics. And,
sure.
I guess you said we might do another show one day about Joe Biden, but woe unto him, because he's causing many Catholics to think that abortion is okay.
Amen to that. And that will be a part of, I mean, this is something that I'll be doing. I've had several people around the world actually asking me to do this because it's been a while. I mean, it's not really considered a political show. I'm not really doing a political show, but I am concerned about the environment and what's going on and what's happened in Afghanistan. That's going to be a theme in what you just brought up right there.
It is a Catholic crisis that we have.
Yeah.
A Catholic who is the leader of the United States of America and who is openly living in mortal sin. That is a Catholic crisis.
It is. It is.
I should add in my book under the section about the journey through hell that I noted that one of the things that sent more people to hell was leading people astray from the truth or practicing things other than the truth. And oh boy, that was like a sure ticket to hell. If you go against God and you take other people with you away from God or away from the truth about God. I don't know if you read that.
I have
book,
that.
Donald, but yeah.
I have that book next to my bed right there. I have that very book right there on my table right next to my bed because I keep it there as a reference now. But, I mean, that's just it's a powerful book, and I would encourage anyone out there to look into it. And so because of the power behind it, because we are to, you know, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. That's what we're supposed to be doing is exposing it. And what it says in Titus chapter 3:10, warn a heretic once, warn them a second time. If they don't come back to the church, know that they have become perverted and stand self-condemned. That's what St. Paul is saying to St. Titus. And that's why it's important for us to encourage people to lead the right way. That's what truth is all about. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by through me. And if we try to go some other outlet or some other means, we're just deceiving ourselves. And Mary is not another voice. I mean, she is his voice, like we should be. Terry and Judy and you, John, all of us are striving. I mean, we want to be his voice, and we are his voice when we proclaim his word. We become his hands when we do what he wants us to do, and we become his feet when we go where he wants us to go. And Terry, God bless you too, because I mean, think about the people that you reach that's on the street.
Well, you know,
have no,
you know, Donald, so he just touched on a nerve for me. And this is another thing I get a little flack about, because a lot of the people when I go to those type of neighborhoods to minister are, you know, I could get shot or whatever, you know. But the thing is, I recruited so many men into Satan's army or you know, into the gang. But basically, I brought them into Satan's army. And then now that I'm following Jesus Christ, I need to make the amount of souls that I lead to Jesus Christ twice as many as the ones I led to Satan, because I don't want to have to answer that for that when I get before the judgment seat. You know?
Well, Terry, we already know what's going to happen when you get up there, what your guardian angel is going to do. So we already know that. And but that's the good thing.
And also,
my brother-in-law reminds me of that quite a bit. Yeah.
it's not how you start your life. It's how you finish. And many of the saints started horribly and ended brilliantly. So it's how you finish is what counts.
You know, John, there's another thing I think that's interesting about this, because you go to that barn and you see this light coming through there. I mean, we have covered Eucharistic miracles where someone had going to a sorcerer, a witch, trying to get a love potion. And given that description or given the, what to do about it, this person actually started to actually do, you know, and the host actually transformed to flesh and actually is bleeding. And the person that's doing this is totally freaking out. they ended up taking this Eucharistic miracle and placing it in the barn and burying it under a dunghill, in a corner underneath manure.
Dunghill.
And when when the husband gets in there with his mule and all these animals, they all are acting crazy.
They're bowing down.
Yeah.
They all kneel.
And so when
for the dung heap before they entered the barn.
You know the story.
Oh, I have a picture in my book depicting that where you see the animal kneeling down and the farmer's about to pull his hair out before the dung heap. Yeah, it's a picture in my book.
And it was that way for seven years. Seven years it was like that until the wife kind of came clean with what she did. And even when they did, they got the priest, and when they dug it up, the host transformed into heart, cardiac tissue, it was like incorrupt. Amazing. And this is what is happening today is amazing. When you see that bright light, that is that sign of God's glory. Think about that.
And remember,
and John, I can just see you sitting there with that light around you right now.
Dream on. Well,
hopefully you got the light turned on.
Oh, I do. It's remember, folks, this is 1962 that this happened, so it's not that long ago. All right. Well, now, remember, I'm going to repeat Mary's last message again. It has some interesting things in it. So just in case anyone just joined us, Mary said, I will help mankind if man turns to prayer, and I will protect you from death. Otherwise, you, Ramut, would have died this month near St. James on the 25th of July. Friday would have been your day of death. And then she says, ask people not to eat meat on Fridays. Ask those who believe my holy words to say a small prayer, and to the non-believers, say nothing. Interesting. Well, Ramut said that Mary was crying golden tears, which fell like 5 kopeck coins, which is Russian, 5 kopeck coins.
Wow.
That's what the golden tears look like. You know, we've heard other times where her tears fell and it was just golden, and I guess heavenly tears are pretty special too. But around this table that Mary was standing on, golden clover bloomed all around the table she was standing on. And Ramut asked Mary if she could have some of each. And Mary said, very interesting, Mary said, quote, the clover and the tears are of no value. I will do something greater to make people start to pray. And the whole world will sparkle and shimmer. There is no greater fortune than what you have seen today. And then Ramut was crying the whole time, and Mary told her to stop and go home, be happier, awaken her brothers and sisters and parents. And when they say their prayers, she is to tell them what she has seen. Mary then said, and now I leave you a long, healthy, happy life. Ramut says, when will you again appear? Now, folks, this is extremely important. Mary says, I will not appear here again. I will appear in Egypt soon with 2 angels. If anything goes wrong, come here to pray and I will give you advice. Now, this is one, if not maybe the only time I've heard Mary say where she's going to have an apparition next. And guess what, folks? This is 1962. In 1968, she appeared in Egypt in Zaytun over the church with angels. Well, she had these glowing birds all around her, which were not birds. because, excuse me, what birds do not flap their wings or as big as ducks and glow from within in the middle of the night and fly in formations like the cross and other things? Yeah, that's a whole story. But I think those were her angels. It says she's going to appear in Egypt with her angels. And sure enough, she appeared with those luminous lights or birds all around her. And they have pictures of those. Yes, indeed. They took photos of all that stuff. But the point here is she told Ramut McVite that she was going to appear in Egypt in a few years. And she did, which gives this prediction extreme credibility because, again, this prediction came true. And it's about the only time I've ever heard her say where she's going to be next. So I thought that was cool.
Well, you know why why when she was asking for that gold imagery that was on the altar when she was standing up on there, why that had no value to Our Lady?
Go ahead.
Well, because where she's from, that's just simply pavement.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
That's right.
No value in that sense.
Well, and she means things of this world are nothing. You know, it's your soul. It's your afterlife. She has said that you're just on this planet for a blink of an eye, and then your whole eternity is in heaven or wherever you go. So I always said our life is just an audition for eternity. We're auditioning for our place. And that's why we need to live right and do things right. What do you think, Judy?
A thought occurred to me when y'all were talking about the angels, you know, appearing with the Blessed Mother. It seems like they accompany her quite often in some way. And I just got this kind of funny thought that, you know, how throughout history, whenever there was a queen or a queen mother, they had handmaids. And it seems like the angels are the handmaids for Blessed Mother.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
She has saints that are there with her at times. Yeah.
She had many saints appear, too. You're right. Even the Fatima children, two of them that were already deceased, appeared with her in that one apparition, which I just thought that was great, Jacinta and Francisco.
You know, that part about where Our Lady is telling that she was saved, you know, that Our Lady saved her from whatever was could have taken her life in July. You remember that piece that you were saying there, John?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was Reforger Germany, 1989. In fact, this was the last actual Reforger, which is a major where the British, the Germans, all our allies were participating in war games. And I was out there with a track, with a track ambulance, and we were taking a fake casualty to hire, you know, as part of our training. And it had been like icing, snow, that kind of thing. And when we were going down this hill, we just passed through this town, and we were heading, you know, down this hill when our track became like a sled, and we lost control, and we were actually going on the other side of the road. This was at night, and getting close to night, and there was about a 100-yard patch where there was nothing there but a gully, except for one tree that was about in the middle of it. And as our track had actually was going down this hill like a sled, and it was beginning to actually tip over. I mean, it would have rolled over, and we would have all died in this thing because it had gone 100-whatever feet down that thing, that gully. And our track was, I mean, the right side of the track was already off of the ground, and where it hit this one tree, and it was not a big tree, by the way, but it hit the tree from the, on the back of the track, and there was nothing that we could have done. But I feel like Our Lady definitely spared us. I mean, what is the chance you got 100 yards, one tree out there, and you lose control of your vehicle like this, and it happens to be stopped by that one tree at that one moment of time? Wow. And then that,
what would be interesting is to go back and see if there even was a tree there.
Oh gosh! I mean, even when the maintenance came over there and they saw they had to take that track and pull it back and put it back on the ground, and they're like, they said this was a miracle. And you look at in the 15 promises of Our Lady praying the Rosary, number 5, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the Rosary shall not perish. And I'm thinking, thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
All right. That's a great story. I always love that story. Well, wrapping up this story, then Mary floated over Remut's head and disappeared. I guess headed to Egypt. And Remut went home and did as Mary had asked, asking all her family to pray. Now, remember, this whole thing occurred on July 13th and 14th, and yet she said that she would have died on July 25th. So listen to what's coming up here, and maybe we'll get a clue as to what could have happened. On July 15th, the next day, many uniformed military men chased people and beat them to keep them away from the apparition site. State authorities, this is Lithuania, the state authorities had forbidden people to go there to pray. Yet, on July 25th, Marijona Tomasonian and her two daughters, Aldona and Elizabeth, and their children, Janut and Stesite, traveled from Zaltiscu to seek the site of the apparitions in order to pray there. Cautioned by Remut's parents not to do so, they begged to hide instead in a haystack near the barn and pray there. Remut's mother and sister Anna coaxed them to come out of the haystack, and as they did, the haystack and clover disappeared, and a bright light appeared instead. Remut's mother fell to her knees. Her mother fell to her knees, feeling as if she were thrown to the ground by its brilliant projections. But we know how visionaries are thrown to their knees. All of them saw the strange light. Anna ran into the house to tell Remut and her father what she had seen. The father ran out of the house just in time to see the light fading away. So, and we don't know what could have happened that might have killed Remut that day, but obviously Mary's presence was there and the military people were not at that point. So, interesting finish, and I'd love to know more details about this apparition, but it was really only 2 days long. And then that last little incident with the haystack. The haystack, which they thought was a haystack, and then when they got out of it, there wasn't any haystack there at all. That was weird.
That is incredible.
They were hiding under Mary's mantle. They were hiding under Mary's mantle and didn't even know it.
Wow.
This
light.
Go for it,
Judy.
Y'all notice that whenever the Blessed Mother appears, it seems like there's always this bright light. So when Jesus appears, there's this bright light. And it just seems like these bright lights of heaven, their intention is to show us the way, to illuminate where we're meant to be, where we're meant to go when this earthly life is over. You know, you think of when it's dark, you know, you need a light to find your way. Well,
right.
The heavenly light is showing us the way. This is where, you know, this is where you're supposed to be, folks. Follow the light.
Well, you're more right than you know. As Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and I am the way and the truth. And Mary has said that he has appeared with her, or he has been with her in every apparition. If he is the light, this bright light is him.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And in
think of this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Well, I was
just going to say.
Go ahead, John.
All right. In the apparition at La Salette, France, in Melanie's diary, she was very meticulous about detail, and she said the bright light that was surrounding Mary came from Jesus on the crucifix hanging around Mary's neck. The bright light surrounding Mary came from Jesus on her crucifix. And that's when it dawned on me, yes, that's it. That's how he's with her, and that's the light.
Well, that just goes with, yep, that goes just when St. Paul's conversion on his journey to Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, sir? And the reply came, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go to the city. And you will be told what you must do. Wow. But it was that light. There you go.
Okay,
yeah.
Donald, that story has always you made me think about things. Now, isn't it true that he was stricken blind for a time?
Yes, for 3 days.
He was stricken blind. Now, it seems to me that just as when we're in a dark room or something, we need a light to find our way. He was stricken blind in order to finally see the light to find his way to the truth, to Jesus. Is that making any sense?
Well, in this case with St. Paul, who was at that time Saul, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he answered, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, the Straight Street,
yeah.
And ask at the house of Judas for a man whom from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying. And in the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, and he may regain his sight. But Ananias replied, Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to imprison all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. And I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name. Whoa. And so, I mean, this is just all of this is incredible. And it all goes back to who we are in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is what and who we follow.
And
oh my.
Another part of that story that gets me is the street called Straight. And all I can think of is the straight and narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, guys.
And Terry, we lost Terry. Somehow we lost Terry a while ago. He dropped, but he said that he learned how you can with a crooked stick be able to draw a straight line. Sometimes, So,
John, that you said at the beginning, why the visionaries asked, you know, why me? I asked the same question, you know, when I first started to get the poetry. And I think that's a common question that people would ask if, you know, if all of a sudden they're being given some extraordinary gift from heaven and, you know, you just say, why me, you know? There's got to be people better than I am, you know, that you could pick. And yet...
Right.
God has his own reasons for picking the ones that he chooses for whatever purpose.
Yeah,
and I think
I agree.
The time, they are humble people. They are humble people for the most part.
I remember Chris Christopherson. He wrote the song, Why Me, Lord? That's a beautiful song, by the way. If you haven't heard that by Chris Christopherson, Why Me, Lord? It fits perfectly right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the answer is because we're all God's children.
Right. Yes, yes.
And we're all equal in his eyes. I mean, you know, we're all...
Yeah, he loves us all.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
He loves
that's
us all.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
Go
ahead.
I'm just reminded of when I was taking theology class in college. I don't remember how it started, but we sort of got into a classroom debate about whether or not God loves the Blessed Mother more than he loves the rest of us. And some of the girls, I was in an all-girl high school and college, Dominican, St. Mary's Dominican. Anyway, some of the girls in the class said, yeah, of course, he loves her more. And I'm afraid I was one of the ones who said, no, God loves us all the same. And it just, you know, kind of went into a kind of a theological debate. And the priest is just standing in the front of the class and letting us kind of sort it out on our own. I'm not sure that we did sort it out, but... I don't know. Opinions, please.
Well, I think you're right. You know. Yeah.
I think
you're
it's
right,
position. Position. I mean, when you're talking about the normal, like Padre Pio, for example, and the great saints, there's 36 doctors of the church that we recognize. And all of them had strong devotion to Our Lady, by the way. I think it's important to understand that. So the concept is that God loves all the same. I think Mary has a very unique position.
Well, that's it. You see, it's not whether or not God loves one person more than another. I don't think that God is capable of that. It's really how much do we love him.
Right. There you go. There you go.
Yeah,
I think
there's a lot to that, too. Well, where are we going to next week there, John?
Well, Mary told us, remember? She said she's going
to Egypt
next with her angels. And guess what? We are going to Zaytun, Egypt next week, and we will be there several weeks because there's so much good stuff coming from that series of apparitions over 4 years, and as many as 40 million people saw her by the time it was all over. That's a lot of people, including even the president of Egypt, President Nasser, even saw her. So, yeah, it was a big deal. So we'll be going there next week and detail it, and that was one where I did find a rare book about all the details, and so that was nice. That was nice. And written by an American who traveled there. So anyway,
amen.
We will continue. And before we close out tonight, as always, we ask the whole world, and we know you're listening out there, we ask the whole world to join with me in a Hail Mary And in doing so, all our voices will rise as one in unison up to heaven, and we're going to make heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless all of you who tuned in tonight and took the time to listen to the story. Please come back next week, same time, same place. You're going to hear an amazing story over the next several weeks. And all these stories feel amazing, but this one is just a little more special in certain ways. So 1968 through 1971, I believe. Yeah, maybe 72. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week. And thank you, Judy. Thank you, Donald and Terry. That was great. All the comments.
Thank you, John. And thank you, Donald.
And you too, John.
It's my life. It's my life.
And I'm gonna end this with a song that was produced by Terry. It's called Prodigal Son.
Good night,
everyone. God bless you.
A certain man had two sons. The youngest said to him, Father, give me the portion of inheritance that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. The youngest son gathered all of his possessions and went to a far country, and there wasted all of his money on wild parties. After spending everything, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Starving! He was able to get a job feeding swine. He was so hungry, he'd gladly have eaten that fly, but no one gave up.
I ran away from home, traveled alone down a dark road. My soul tried it on my own, prone to sin. Never thought I'd see you again. This evil within just would not relent. Then the aggression, stress, and wandering. Knew you were the best when in the desert. Wandering, pondering, why spiritual suicide. Took a look inside, realized I died. No surprise, see the pride stopped me from coming back to you. Even though I knew in your mercy you renew my life. Thought twice, a moment hesitation. No wisdom got me living in fear, ritual salvation. In my hunger I fell under the wicked one's spell. Got on a ship that sailed on a one-way trip to hell. Man overboard I fell to my knees when I remember the glory of your presence. Lord, allow me to re-enter.
When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough food, and yet I'm here about to die of starvation? I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, just make me as one of your hired servants. And so he went to his father.
On my knees, begging, please, a million apologies. Listen, chronologically, no excuse for the life I lead. Oh, hey, cause he said he came to sin for a sinner. Gave his life for a loser, so I could be a winner when I call on his name. But it's not the same. Say my soul, so I'm to blame for jumping back in the game. Was I insane? The devil had the last say. Not that easy, I chose a way. Now I'm broken, I betrayed my Lord, my Savior, Son of God, Jesus Christ. Even though I left you, please come back into my life. Cry tears of shame, get back up, cause I'm not giving up. No way, just fight, gotta be far. Not worthy to be your son, just allow me to serve you. Make me the lowest one, cause I know I don't deserve you. The place up in your kingdom for this torn and tattered soul. Left walking like a giant, now I'm crawling back home.
But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him in the distance, and he had great compassion on him, and he ran to him, hugging him with joy. The son said to him, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he said, put the best clothes on him, the family ring upon his hand, and shoes upon his feet. Let us make a great feast and rejoice. For this my son, he was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.